Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Ben Standing is our Washington Commanders insider on this show. He writes for The Athletic, as most of you know. It is a worthwhile subscription. He has a podcast called Standing Room Only, and you can follow Ben on X on Twitter at Ben Standing. He is one of the guys on the beat, as he has been all season long, and we have arrived at the regular season finale coming up against Dallas. Real quickly, because I was just talking about it, but I'm just curious as to whether or not you had any kind of, you know, significant reaction to Cliff Kingsbury saying that he wants to be a head coach again.
Well, I mean, I guess I've been surprised by people who that he said he wanted to do that again. I'm not sure what they expected. I mean, he's an ambitious 44-year-old guy, young guy, relatively speaking, to being in his league. He stepped away from the NFL. Well, he got, you know, fired by the Cardinals, but stepped away from the NFL world for a year, and he has basically said he did it to sort of reassess kind of where he is at while still keeping a toe, you know, obviously in the sport. And he has come in this year and, you know, look, I mean, are there elements of his offense that we've seen in previous years? Of course, but he's changed a bunch too. He's, you know, hopefully for the last time, for his sake, dispelled this notion of this cliff thing, is how they keep scoring points when their quarterback is, you know, healthy. And yeah, I appreciated the fact that he was honest and didn't just say, well, you never know, who we'll see, like, blah, blah. You know, no, he's like, yeah, sure. Whether it's this year is the question. And, you know, there will be jobs open. He's obviously done a very, very good job with this team here. You know, it's almost on some level, the 11 wins, obviously, is very surprising, but that they're averaging 28 points a game is almost on some level more so when you consider a rookie quarterback and, you know, not the most dynamic of pieces around him. And it gives a lot of credit to him. So, no, I don't think it's remotely surprising to me that he would think, that he would say that he wants to be a head coach again. But yeah, the question will be, is there an opportunity that he thinks, that is presented to him that he thinks, you know, he can't turn down?
Do you think he'll get a job or not?
I guess it depends. You know, he's in an interesting case, right? One, he's here with a young quarterback who's, you know, only ascending. Two, he's still getting paid by the Cardinals for the last job. Right. So this isn't a paycheck situation. So, you know, I get frustrated sometimes when I hear people who, you know, are not exactly established to say, you know, that people think, oh, they'll be selective. I mean, there's only 32 of these jobs, and you know, Cliff doesn't have to beg anybody for an opportunity, but I think it's just going to come down. Like, you know, would I take the Jets job if offered? Yeah, probably not, right? No quarterback. They clearly have a mess of an organization right now. If the Bengals make a change, is that more interesting? Well, I think Joe Burrow could be a lot of fun to work with. So I think it just probably depends. There's probably only like two or three of those jobs that I think are pretty interesting. So I would guess no by the numbers, but I don't think it's inconceivable at all.
I think the most interesting thing about the Kingsbury thing, look, I don't personally want him to go. I want him to be the offensive coordinator. I'd love to see a year two with a better supporting cast, you know, if they did as well in the offseason in 2025 as they did in 2024. Second year of a more mature quarterback. I don't know how much more mature this guy could be in Jaden Daniels. But I think what would be interesting is if Chicago were interested, his reaction to that job, because it would say so much about Caleb Williams if he were like not interested in that job, for what, you know, that would be a big part of it, you would think. But we can deal with that when we get there. They have a game to play Sunday, and then they're going to have one next week. Who do you want next week? Who do you think is the best? Which of the three possibilities, Philly, Rams, Bucks, and right now, the Bucks are the odds-on favorite because LA's basically not going to play Matt Stafford or some key starters Sunday against Seattle. But which of the three do you think is the best matchup and gives Washington the best chance to advance beyond the first round?
Well, I think on paper the Rams would seem to be the one, right? I mean, you know, their offense obviously very potent, but they've been scuffling lately. They haven't scored 20 points in the last three games. Cooper Kupp has four catches in the last three games. Stafford's been a bit, you know, up and down relative for him these last few games. And, they're a team, I don't know if they've exceeded expectations, but defensively, playing without Aaron Donald this year, obviously, they've got some good players. They got the possible defensive rookie of the year in Jared Verse, but I don't think this is necessarily like a dominant defense. Plus, if the game is in LA, that could easily be the opposite of what we were typically used to seeing here, where the stadium is flooded by burgundy and gold fans. That said, I'm fascinated by the idea of, is it better to face a team that you have already faced because of that familiarity, or take maybe what is perceived as a quote-unquote easier opponent? I don't know, but any of these are easier per se. But they've already played Tampa this year. They've already played Philly. Obviously, Tampa was forever ago, so much has changed. Jaden Daniels is not the same quarterback as then. But you have already played them. You already have gone up against them. And, I think it's a bit of a mixed bag. Some people don't seem to mind, but if you're playing a brand-new opponent. But I do think there are some, in this sport who believe that playing – an opponent you've already seen is actually the better way to go, because there's less of an unknown, perhaps less of an intimidation factor if it's a better team, at least by seed, that type of thing. So I think it's a little bit of a mixed bag, but I would say the Rams on some logical level will probably be the better scenario.
I think so too. I think, first of all, just what you said, the idea that it would almost be a neutral site environment, there's a chance that it would be. And by the way, I think a lot of burgundy and gold would make it into Tampa as well, because it always has. But I don't know, man. Like right now, Baker Mayfield will put some balls up for grabs, but so will Stafford. I think Bucky Irving is right now as good as anybody in the league the way he's been running, and I would be concerned about Washington's ability to get off the field defensively against Tampa, not to mention if they didn't have Lattimore next week and what Mike Evans could do to them. So I think the Rams have scuffled, like you said, a little bit on offense. Look, if Nacua and Kupp are both healthy, that is a difficult matchup. Kyron Williams is a good back, too. Bucky Irving is becoming a legit big-time threat here at the running back's position here in the second half of the season, and Washington can't stop the run. That would be my biggest concern. So I would take L.A. over Tampa, even though you're facing a better, overall, I think, coach team. I do like Todd Bowles, love him defensively, but man, he will make some in-game gaffes and errors. Sean typically won't. And, you're going with experienced Super Bowl winning quarterback you'd have to go up against, but I think I'd take the Rams too. I would.
I agree. And again, we talked about this, I think, last week. It has been forever since Washington's actually beaten a team this year with a legit quarterback. You really kind of have to go back to week 4 against Kyler Murray. But part of it is it's not just that the quarterback, it's facing a team that has both a quarterback and a viable run game. All three of these teams do. Obviously, Philly with Saquon Barkley is a no-brainer. You just mentioned Bucky Irving. You know, Tampa Bay didn't really completely have that element back in week one. And the Rams, you know, Kyron Williams, you know, maybe he's not the most efficient of running backs, but he, you know, gets a ton of carries, ton of touches, and has been very productive this year. So, yeah, to be able to stop, they got to stop the run, obviously, much better than they have this year. But at the same point, now you're going to have to do it in the context of also having a quarterback who's a killer. So that's where any of these three matchups are going to be more of a challenge in total than they've probably faced in weeks.
Yeah, also just for Tampa, Jalen McMillan, who really didn't get that much run, a little bit of run, and had a big play and a touchdown against us in the opener. But man, has he really come on for Tampa in recent weeks as their number two and a guy that can line up all over the field and is a difficult check. Rookie out of Washington. They had Adunze. They had McMillan with Penix Jr. He was taken in the third round, but a lot of people thought that he could have easily gone earlier than that, and he has really gotten on a roll here recently. Sunday. Let's start with who's going to be available to play. And I just want to start with kind of the status of Austin Ekeler. What is it?
Well, he's practiced in full all week. So I think the question is, at least going into today, so I think the question is just simply, and this is probably the case with their other guys who, you know, he's obviously coming off an injury, not necessarily injured per se. Now, is, you know, do they want to use some of these guys in a game? But yes, it does matter. Seeding does matter. But they're going to be in the playoffs one way or the other. So, you know, what's the deal? Now, in his case, maybe they think, hey, we got to get him back out there. We don't want his first contact being in the playoffs. So, you know, I think to me it's probably that as more than, like, whether he is eligible. Again, you know, he was practiced in full all week, if that, you know, that would suggest he's ready to go. So I think that'll be the question. And I guess, if you make me guess, which you're not, but I'll pretend you are, I'll say that he's active and gets in there a little bit just to get, you know, that feeling again of being in an NFL game and testing it. Maybe, you know, perhaps working past any trepidation he might have. I saw him the other day in the locker room. You know, he seemed his usual confident self, so it doesn't seem like that's, you know, there's any worries there from him. But at the same point, you know, it's different when you're getting out there. So maybe from that perspective, but otherwise, again, whether we're talking about him or Lattimore, or a couple other guys, I could see them saying, well, let's just wait and get everybody as healthy as possible for the playoffs.
All right, but if they do activate him, who goes down?
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Your wedding is a day you'll remember forever. And your fiancé? Your fiancé deserves a suit that feels just as special as the moment you say I do. At Nick's, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties, and we specialize in helping weddings own their suits for about the same price as a rental. That means not only will your fiancé look amazing on your wedding day, but we'll have a suit that can be worn for years to come. Let us make this the easiest and most meaningful part of planning your wedding. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, hello? Well, it's good.
That was a pause.
I was just quickly running through my head here on the roster. I mean, like, you know, they, like last week, I kind of thought that Fedarian Mathis, when John Allen will be up, but Fedarian Mathis would be the one to go, yeah, because they just, you know, purely right. From a now here, I like, you know, Chris Rodriguez to me has been effective enough to think, hey, I want to leave this guy in here to have an option, whether Brian Robinson did the rest or whatever. So I think they probably end up keeping the four running backs. I think what I would wonder is if De'Ami Brown is back this week, right? Now you have him. KJ Osborne has not been active yet in three games. I don't know what that says. Well,
what do you mean? KJ Osborne played Sunday night.
Well, okay, let me rephrase. But he has not been really heavily involved, I guess I should say. He was inactive the first two. And last week, I think he had to be active in part because they just didn't have a lot of guys. I mean, they would have six receivers is my point. I don't know that they're going to necessarily keep six is kind of where I'm going with this. So, yeah, I'm not – they're in a weird spot right now from a roster. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing somebody. You can tell me if I am. I don't see like an obvious –
Well, I think the obvious the obvious place to look is running back, but that may be too obvious to your point, which is why you're scanning the rest of the roster to try to find if they activate Eckler, who do they release? I don't think you can do it with Rodriguez now. And McNichols, by the way, I think is the guy they count on as maybe their best pass protection back by far. I don't know what the answer is, which is why I'm asking you.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, if Cornelius Lucas is out, he's been out this week of practice so far.
Right.
You can't really move another lineman. You know, again, the defensive line, I don't really know that there's somebody that I would say.
You have to release somebody, don't you?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Somebody like, that you can get back to the practice squad.
Right, but that's where I go back to, again, I'm just guessing here, like a KJ Osborne. Yeah, if De'Ami Brown is back, you would have McLaurin and Zacchaeus and De'Ami and McCaffrey and Crowder, plus having Eckler back would give you another pass catcher. So I'm saying that's a spot where, to a degree, they have a little bit of overflow. But, you know, and again, Osborne just hasn't been heavily involved. You know, it was inactive the first two games. And, you know, last week, again, they kind of ran out of people to make inactive. So they had to have some people act up. So that's my best guess. Oh, there's always the possibility that somebody goes on IR, right? That they decide, hey, I'm just making this up, but Jordan McGee and Tyler Owens, they help on special teams, but, you know, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to have to figure out a way to get by without them. But, yeah, I don't think there's really an obvious one. But if the point is about a running back, I agree. I don't think you cut Chris Rodriguez at this point.
Yeah, and by the way, if Eckler is active, I would imagine they're not going to put him back on kickoff returns, that they're going to utilize him solely on offense. Luke McCaffrey has actually proven to be a pretty good kickoff returner. Eckler was really good before he got hurt, but you know maybe we see that in the playoffs, but you're not going to see that Sunday. If he ends up getting snaps, it would be all on offense.
Yeah, ironically, I remember back in training camp when Eckler was among the many players I had working out at kick returner. I was like, oh, this is cute. Like, they're trying Austin Eckler at returner. There's no way they're going to use him, though, in this way, right? He's, you know, let the previous year, he had injuries.
Yeah.
You know, not that he's an old guy, but relatively speaking, for his position, he's getting up there. This isn't what you'd want to do. Well, obviously they did, and he obviously played well, which wasn't the concern that he would play well. The concern was you exposing him to potentially more injuries and, you know, that happened there on the last concussion. So we'll see. But yes, I probably agree with you that if you're going to use him, you got to maximize his abilities, his snaps on offense, not as the returner.
I think they've missed him a hell of a lot, and I think you would agree with that. But let me focus in on two other key players, not necessarily for Sunday, but beyond Sunday, and that is the status when we get to next week before a playoff game in Tampa, L.A., or Philadelphia. Will Lattimore and Biotish be back?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised if either of them are playing this week. We'll see. You know, if they practice today, then, you know, maybe that changes. But that's a perfect example of what the upside of them playing in this game against Dallas for the sixth seed does not outweigh the risk of them not playing in the playoff game. So I would think they sit. And obviously, I think these are two guys, you know, I always like to do the list of the most, you know, indispensable players on your team, right? The guys, like, if they go out, the drop is significant. You know, Jaden Daniels would be kind of an obvious one.
Number one, JD. Who's number two for you?
Well, probably Terry. At this point, considering the other option, everything kind of revolves around him. But, you know, Marshon Lattimore might be three, even though he's barely played for this team. And, you know, Tyler Biadasz is somewhere in the top 10. He's had such a good year anchoring the middle of that offensive line And, you know, the strength of that line is those the center and the two guards. And when he's not in there, you know, it has felt, I think he felt it. And, you know, I think that's one of the, you know, the combination of no Eckler and Biotis being a bit limited, I think has hurt the run game, you know, and you know, Brian Robinson's forte in particular going up the middle. So, yeah, I think those two guys would be huge losses that they can't easily fix, especially Lattimore. We saw last week the Michael Davis, Benjamin St. Juice combo on the outside as his replacement. That's just not gonna be ideal if you're playing a Philly team or a Rams team that has, you know, two really, really good receivers.
It's actually an interesting conversation, and we're talking to Ben, because to me, the way they advance over the next, you know, several weeks is by being incredibly dynamic and unstoppable on offense. I can't, you know, wrap my arms around a defensive turnaround and that being critical to a playoff run. So I hear you on Lattimore, and I would throw in Wagner and Luvu on the defensive side of the ball, but I think Biotis and Terry would be number two behind JD. And then you look to, you know, what's in front of them to kind of keep them in, you know, they have not had in recent weeks the ability to be consistent as in the run game with anybody other than their quarterback or in pass pro. So that would be, for me, what would be next. It would be offensive players.
Yeah, I think, you know, look, it's kind of like looking at the Detroit Lions. I'm not comparing Washington's offense to that necessarily, but the Lions are missing an insane amount of players on defense, and it doesn't seem to matter too much because nobody is slowing down their offense.
Yeah.
If there is a game where they do, or somebody is able to, you know, keep them under, say, 24 points, then you wonder, are they going to be able to hold up enough on defense? But, yeah, I think, yes, right now, enhancing anything that it helps enhance Jaden Daniels is the way to go. You know, we've talked about this before. Sort of, it's still for me somewhat a little bit unclear as to exactly what level of a team they are at, because there's still a lot of questions for me about the roster in the first year of this rebuild, which is understandable. But when you have the eraser known as Jaden Daniels, some of it just doesn't matter. And I think we saw last week against Atlanta a perfect example of a guy who more or less willed the team to that win in overtime with just his willingness to sort of take on every responsibility. It felt like passing, running outside, running with power to the degree that he has power. The offense is going to carry this team, no doubt about it.
All right, lastly, for the last time in the regular season, just a couple of quick keys to beating the Cowboys in a final score prediction.
I haven't seen, I guess, who Dallas is exactly going to play or sit or what have you. So obviously that's going to be some factor. They already know CeeDee Lamb. Is Trey Lance going to start for them at quarterback? You think logically he should, right? I mean, you've had this guy. You haven't really seen what he could do. You know what Cooper Rush is. So, you know, all that said, you know, Dallas, this is a game that Washington, you know, should win. I understand they lost already, and the division record, you know, division teams, you never know how it's going to go. But I just think the key for Washington is just get ready for what they need to do in the playoffs. You know, this is a team that cannot afford to make mistakes. I know they won a game with five turnovers, but that's not going to work, you know, week in and week out. You know, obviously, you know, I think establishing the run is going to be big because they have not really done that much outside of Daniels, as you said, the last few weeks. And, you know, look, Rico Dowdle is not Derrick Henry or Saquon Barkley, but, you know, he's been an effective running back this year, and they got to slow down a run game. They just have not been able to do that. You know, yes, did they sort of quiet Atlanta in the second half? Sure, but that was in part because they got a rookie, Atlanta had a rookie quarterback in there, and Washington dominated at time of possession.
Did they slow Saquon
Barkley down? Right. Did they slow Saquon Barkley down after that crazy first quarter? Yeah, to a degree, but Jalen Hurts was out of the game. And, you know, the Eagles were fine, you know, have plenty of other weapons. They have just not been able to consistently stop the run when the other team kind of keeps doing it all game. And, you know, it doesn't matter who they're going to face in the playoffs. If they can't do that, then it's going to be a really tough challenge for them to advance. So, you know, it's probably just more focusing on what they do, what they need to improve on, more than it is whatever Dallas is going to offer.
All right. Talk to you on Monday, and we'll have all the answers in terms of playoff opponent, and look forward to a playoff game for the first time in a while, and one maybe they can win for the first time in a while. Have a good weekend. Yeah, enjoy the trip.
Wait, since you're my weatherman, am I getting stuck in Dallas with snow?
Maybe. Yes, the answer is maybe.
Great.
But subject to change. You know how these things always change. It's 2 days away from the event. Actually, 2.5 days. Yeah. So we'll see. All right.
Well, I'll look for your weather alert. See ya.
Well, Doug Kammer is going to be on with us an hour from now, so he'll give us the latest. Thanks. Got to run.
See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. When we come back, Denton and I will talk about the college football playoff games from the last few days. I've got my keys to a win over the Cowboys, smell test picks. As I mentioned, Doug Kammer will be on the show. A lot left here on this final regular season football Friday of the season. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team 980.com.